Good afternoon. My name is Leroy Chatfield. I'm the director of the Farm Worker Movement Documentation Project. Today is June the 12th, 2008. It's a little after 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And I am privileged and honored today to interview Esther Urandi, who is sitting in Bakersfield, California in a recording studio, and I'm here in Sacramento, California. Esther Urandi was the first Delano grape striker in 1965 to sign an authorization, a union authorization card with the Cesar Chavez and his National Farm Workers Association. And in September of this year, 2008, Esther will be celebrating her 42nd
40.
Year. 40 what?
Is it 42nd or 43rd?
43rd anniversary of her work with the United Farm Workers. And so, Esther, I would like to welcome you, and I hope you're doing well there in Bakersfield. And are you ready to begin the interview?
Yes, I am.
Good.
I am, Leroy.
The first question is, in my mind, is we have to give the listening audience a sense of who is Esther Urandi. And can you sort of tell us who you are and where you're from and what your background is, and so that we can begin to know you a little bit?
Okay. My name is Esther Tarango Urandi. I was born in Early Mart, believe it or not, Early Mart, California. My parents were from, my father is from Texas. My mother was from Arizona. And they came many, many, many years ago. Their parents were also from Texas and Arizona. But they came many years ago to California and settled in Early Mart.
Names, Esther?
My mother's name was Josephine Valdez. Her maiden name was Valdez. My father's name, Emilio Tarango. Emilio Tejas Tarango and Josephine Castillo Valdez.
And what kind of work did they do here?
They did field work. My mother did field work. And my father did field work for a while. But after a while, he got a job in an egg ranch. And that's where he worked for the later part of his years.
Mm-hmm. Did you have brothers and sisters?
Brothers and sisters, my mother says that I had, that she had 17 children, probably counting the ones that passed away early in childbirth. That I actually know, there were 14 of us. I had a sister whose name was Anita. She was the firstborn, but she passed away 24 hours. She passed away, and so then later I was born. So I'm considered the eldest one in the family of 14.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember the names of your siblings? Or?
The names? Let's see. Beatrice, Carmen is male. Emilio, Irene, Jimmy, Gloria, Diana, Rosa, Johnny, Alex, Diana, so far. Those are the ones.
Okay. And what kind of, they were all born in Early Mart too?
They were all born Early Mart or Tulare, around the area. We were all born there. Here in California.
And did they do field work too?
Some of them did field work early on, but then after a while, some left and went on. I have a sister, Jessie. I didn't mention her. Jessie worked in the accounting department of Davis University. I had a sister, Irene, that was a forelady and in the ranches. Like a foreman in the fields, And the others moved away from here when they married. They later moved on. I have someone that's working in a convalescent home. Well, all of them won't. I have one brother, a smaller brother, that lives in Las Vegas, works at one of the Hilton hotels there in the accounting department.
And at what age did you begin to work in the field?
Well, as long as I can remember, I know for a fact that I was 5 years old when I first started working, and this was picking plums. In the San Jose area, in San Jose, there are towns like Gilroy and Morgan Hill, a little town, Madron, California, where we used to go and settle, and it was during the school season. We used to travel, and that is the only place that we ever used to travel to go and work outside of Early Mart. And I remember I was 5 years old, and I remember working in the fields and picking plums was what I was doing. At 5 years old,
what do you remember doing?
Picking the plums, and from later on, my mother used to go, and she used to be pregnant almost every year. So every time that we went, she was pregnant, and she used to get a big there's a big stick, sort of a stick that has a hook on the end of it. And she grabs a hold of one of the biggest branches on the trees. And the trees are very large because there's different kinds of plums. So some of the trees, I remember they were French. French plums is what they used to call them. And she would shake the trees, the plums, going all around the tree and shaking the tree. And then the plums would fall. And we'd have buckets and we'd pick the plums, kneel on our knees or bend at the waist and pick the plums, depending on what we felt more comfortable with. And we'd pick the plums, put them in the buckets, and then later on go to the end of the row and transfer from the buckets into boxes.
I see. And your brothers and sisters were along?
We all did that.
You all did that? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They did. Of course, they did it later on in the years. But when school was out, then we'd go there. We'd have... I don't know if it was a contract with a certain grower, but we'd go into that place, into that home, and families would go in trucks, in big trucks. We'd ride in the truck in the back, and all standing up in the back of the truck. And we'd go into a house that had upstairs and many bedrooms, and each family would get a bedroom. The upstairs were men like our cousins or uncles that were single, and they'd room upstairs. And at first, the first crop that we did was apricots. We used to slice apricots and put them on a tray so that they'd be dried apricots. Then after that work ended, then we'd go into the plums. It was about a two and a half month.
But that was the only crop that you went to year after year. Huh?
That was the only crop that we went out of Early Mart to go and do. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, what kind of work? What about in Early Mart itself? What kind of field work did you do?
Or? In Early Mart, we did well. Back then, we used to do picking cotton. We'd go to Corcoran, which is not too far from there. Well, 20 something miles maybe, and pick cotton. And there was also the thinning, what was it, the sugar beets. We'd thin sugar beets, bending down at the waist with a small-handled hoe, and not get up until we went to the end of the row, and then we'd get up, and then we'd get another row, and then come back all the way through it again.
Using the short-handled hoe to chop to thin the
sugar beets.
I see.
And also to thin cut cotton before the picking, and you know, until it grew, then we'd go pick.
Well, now, at what age were you when you were thinning sugar beets, for example?
Well, that was later on in the years. I didn't do that early on. It wasn't until I got out of school. when I got out of school, meaning I graduated from the eighth grade. After I graduated from eighth grade, then I didn't go to school anymore. The following year, probably 15 or 16. At 16 years, I got married.
And then you did field work.
And then was when I did field work. I had my children and in 1954, October 1954, October 16th, I had my first son, Tony. Then my second son, David, I had October 29th of the following year, 55. And then I had a baby, Stevie, in November 1st of 1956. Stevie died at 8 months of a sickness. I had been taking him to the doctor, and he wasn't getting any better. And so one day, Manuel and I told Manuel, let's go to take him to the hospital because I don't know, he's really sick. So we took him to the hospital. On our way to the hospital, in between Early Mart and Delano, I felt that he was going. So he passed away. He gave his last breath and passed away. I was blowing in his mouth, and he passed away in my arms. He was 8 months old. How old was I? 19 years.
Uh-huh. And did you have any other children after that?
I had Juliana 6 years later.
6 years later?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so she's the baby, huh?
Yes, uh-huh.
And let's go back to picking cotton. Did you pick cotton?
Yes, I did.
Could you tell us how that works? Explain how that operates.
Well, I picked cotton. I think I picked cotton in my early years, but later on I picked more. It was a daily job, the cotton season. We, Manuel and I and other people around the area would go to Corcoran or around the area, wherever there was cotton, and we'd pick a long sack, probably about 12, 15-foot sack, tied around our waist, and go in a row and get the cotton balls, get them out of the little, I don't know what you would call those things, get the cotton out of there and put them in the sack until we filled up the sack.
Bending over?
Yes, we were bending over. We'd have to bend over. And then
each worker had his own sack.
Each worker had his own sack, uh-huh. And then I'd pick about, it was probably about 300 pounds, 150, 200 pounds for a sack by the time it was filled. Then you'd get the sack and put it over your shoulder and go and weigh it and then climb a ladder onto the it was a large trailer that had a couple of sticks or where you could stand and lower the sack and shake it down so the cotton would fall in the trailer. Yeah, so you do that every time you filled up a sack.
Well, do you remember how many sacks in a day you would do?
I think it was something like we were getting paid $3.25 per 100 pounds. Something like $15 is what we'd make, I think, around that time.
$15?
$15 a day.
A day. Mm-hmm. So that would be... how many sacks would that be then?
Five, six, about six sacks.
How early did you start in the morning?
Early at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh. And how long did you work?
Probably about 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't work all day. And that was piece rate, so.
What does piece rate mean?
Piece rate means that you go and you don't put in the full hours. You go and you, depending on how fast you work. And so you make your quota. You have a quota and you make it. And you know, well, if you want to stay longer, then you want to make some more money, you want to stay longer, but that's quite a...
Well, who sets the quota?
We do ourselves. The worker does. That's why we work piece rate.
Uh-huh. You set your own quota.
Uh-huh. Yes, it wasn't anything that the grower, the foreman set. It was us. We wanted to go home early. The workers.
Who was with you?
My husband. My husband, and then we had probably my sister-in-law, Carmen, and her husband, and we'd go couples in a car. Family members in a car.
Was a small group?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And who did you work for? Do you remember?
No. No, I don't remember. I never paid. We worked for foremen, labor contractors, or whatever. But I don't remember. I don't know. I didn't know the names. I just went and worked. Manuel probably did, but I didn't.
Who paid you?
They did. The labor contractors paid us.
And how often?
Well, sometimes it was daily. Sometimes it was weekly. Sometimes it was daily per day.
Get paid?
In the cotton, yes. In the cotton, yes. In the sometimes in other crops, we didn't. We'd have to be, if we worked with labor contractors, then we'd have to be hustling. We'd probably spend more money on gas trying to get our paychecks than.
You had to chase your paycheck.
Yeah, yeah. There were a few times before. When we used to go to a labor commissioner and put claims, yeah.
Tell us about the just focusing on the cotton, for example, or the sugar beets. I mean, as a young woman working in the fields, did you have access to toilets, for example?
In the vines, let's see, I don't remember what we did out in the open because in the vines we didn't have any. We'd have to go and we went in the grapevines. We'd go, there were no toilets. We'd go in the fields and two of us would go, we'd go in pairs, two women would go, one could cover the other. You know, there was no paper, there was no washing facilities, there was nothing. In the open fields like that, you know, I don't remember, I never thought of that. Maybe we didn't go, I don't know. Because there were, like the sugar beets, that's open field. And the cotton, the cotton would be, the plants are pretty high, so we'd go there in the field.
What about did you take breaks or?
No breaks, no breaks. No.
Just work constantly.
Just work constantly. If we were, you know, because we'd go from we'd go to the end of the row, turn around to another row, you know, and just do it. Just work, work, work. We'd take no breaks.
Did you break for lunch?
We broke for lunch, half an hour. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we'd just go and grab a taco in the car and just go walking back to the field, eating it, walking back, you know, to the row, because we were piece rate, huh?
Right. And what about did you carry water?
The water was, they had water cans. And most of the time they had water cans. It was one water can, and then tied to the water can was a can of, a small can of, like when you buy in the store, a small can of vegetables or something. One of those cans, they make a little hole in it and tie it to the thing, and everybody would use the same cup.
And that was the cup?
That was a cup. That was what we all used.
Now, did you work, you mentioned the vines. Did you work in the, I take it you worked in the grape vineyards too?
I worked in the grape vineyards, yes, for a long time. And the grape vineyards, well, let's see, we worked, I remember one time working with, well, several years, with Frank Herrera, who used to be the mayor in Delano.